What we've seen happen this week with Kristi Noem, the Republican governor of South Dakota, and the interview after interview in which her lies are exposed, or apparent lies are exposed, about her supposed meetings with Kim Jong-un, her supposed visits to North Korea, all of which for now we have no evidence of whatsoever. We are seeing the crumbling of an elected official, the likes of which we haven't seen for a while, and it is a self-imposed crumbling. This is self-destructive behavior. The backstory, if you haven't been following it, is that first attention went to Kristi Noem's book released yesterday because it contained a story presented as her heroic making of tough decisions where she killed a 14-year-old dog with a gun on her farm. And she presented the story as, when it gets difficult, I can do what needs to be done. Animal lovers from all political stripes found it pretty vile. And really the problem was that she thought it was a worthwhile story to include that would paint her in a good light. Even if sometimes you have to put down an animal on a farm, the idea that this is the anecdote or the excerpt, as she called it yesterday, that would make her look good is just incredibly poor judgment. But then it started to get weirder. There was an anecdote about her meeting with Kim Jong-un and her belief about how Kim Jong-un would react. But then when she was asked, did you meet Kim Jong-un? She won't answer. And 1, 2, 3, 4 interviews were done about this where she would not answer. And so we are led to wonder, did she make it up completely? Is there some classified meeting she had that now she's realizing for security reasons must be removed from the book? Doesn't seem particularly likely. She voiced the audiobook where she read that. And it didn't strike her as something that should have been removed. Only now that it is in the spotlight, is she saying, oh, that never should have been in the book. So this is getting worse and worse. And now Kristi Noem has lost it with Stuart Varney, Fox News host. She says to Stuart, this interview is ridiculous. You need to stop. She doesn't like the fact that she is being asked questions about the substance of her book. Arguably, all of these interviews should have been canceled. That's many of you are writing to me saying, David, at this point, she's just a liar. She shouldn't get any interviews and opportunities to sell the book. Let's listen to what she had to say.
I still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president.
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this.
He's the only person who will decide.
And I spoke. Yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations.
Did the dog story
president
come up
Trump.
In a conversation with
I talk
Trump?
To President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt. Witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up
yes,
the dog?
Yes, enough,
with Trump.
Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now. So you
so.
Need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's
stop.
Talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we are.
We do thank you for being with us. I know I pressed hard, but that's what people are talking about to this day.
Yeah.
Governor Noem, thanks for joining us.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
It is, listen. I am not one to defend Stuart Varney, who is known for just absurd interviews, which we've covered time and time again. But Kristi Noem is the one who wants to sell her book. She wants no serious questions. She doesn't want to answer the obvious questions that any sane person would ask. And when you're losing Stuart Varney, when you're losing Newsmax, as I will show you in a moment, you know that things aren't going well. And here is this is now Newsmax, where a Newsmax host tells Kristi Noem, I think you've destroyed your shot at being Donald Trump's vice president with the absurdity surrounding this book. And you know what? I think he's right.
I agree with you there. But going back to what you said a moment ago, maybe not lying mm-hmm. to the American people. And I think this is important to talk about because the book's called No Going Back, mm-hmm. The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics. And I think part of the problem with politics today is that politicians aren't honest with the
it's
American
true.
People.
I
so
agree.
If, Governor, if you asked me a month ago, who's at the top of the list to run with Donald mm-hmm. Trump, I would have said your name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you asked me that same question this morning, I don't even think you're on the list.
Really?
So my question
and
for you, yes, really, and it's because of things that have come out in this book, like your claims that you met Kim Jong-un, and then
I've
over the last
the
week,
I've been to the DMZ, I've been to the area.
She sounds stupid at this point. She sounds stupid. He says, your claim in the book that you met Kim Jong-un is a problem. And she says, I've been to the DMZ. Okay, what difference does that make? That's not evidence that you met with Kim Jong-un, which was in the book. It's not evidence that you went to North Korea, which was in the book. The DMZ is a buffer zone between North and South Korea. She's lost. All of these interviews should have been canceled. There's speculation that she agreed to do this press tour months ago, and now she has to do it because her publisher set up all of these interviews. But this is pathetic. This is pathetic. And you know what? Newsmax guy is right. I don't think she's even in the conversation with Trump as far as being VP anymore.
Did you stare down Kim Jong-un? Governor, 1 second. I will give you an opportunity to respond. I just want to get this out there. So here's the quote from the book. You say that I remember when I met North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants. Governor, that never happened.
I have said in the book is that when I became aware of the content that we had, it changed. And that's the way that it is. So I should not have put that anecdote in the book. I'm not going to talk about my meetings.
But an anecdote indicates that it happened,
I'm
right?
I'm not going to talk about my conversations with world leaders. I've been involved in policy for 30 years.
Really?
For 30 years, I've been traveling the world, talking to world leaders.
All right, anyway, this is the same answer. I'm not going to subject you to the same nonsense. Once again, she's told, you lied. You said you met Kim Jong-un and you didn't. And she goes, I've been to the DMZ. I've been speaking to world leaders, but I don't talk about my conversations with them. Well, except you did in the book. Now, when you've lost Fox News, when you've lost Newsmax and you're a Republican, it is over for you. One more clip going back to the Varney interview. Varney asks her, if you were writing the book today, would you still include the dog story? She doesn't even answer that.
That I just want him to win and that I'll do whatever I can to help.
If you were writing the book today, would you include the dog story?
You know, this is a wonderful book. Did you read the book?
Not yet.
Oh, you should. The first chapter.
But the question stands.
The whole first
chapter. If you were writing it today,
yes, I'm
would
proud
you
of
include
this book.
The dog story?
I'm proud of this book. If you read the first chapter, it's all about when this writing started. When you turn on the news today and all you see that's happening on these college campuses and what's going on with supporting Hamas.
She's not very good. She's just not good at this. She's not good at changing the topics.
And the pro-terrorist organizations, the first chapter in this book covers the riots that happened at the RNC at the White House and how that started with Antifa and the fact that this president that's in the White House, Joe Biden, will not shut
down. The question was about killing a dog. She's talking about Antifa.
Down, and that they're chanting hatred towards the Jewish people and exterminating them. That's what people should be talking about, Stuart.
Your political
judgment. I know that a lot of people are using attacks and trying to take me down because they're scared of me. And I've run 12 campaigns, and all I've done is won.
I've not
I win everything that I do.
Support you on shooting the dog.
I'm honest. Well, I've heard a lot of people.
Nobody.
I've heard a lot of people that say, listen, this was 20 years ago. 50
states. We've consumed with emails.
50 states have a law in the books.
No, you're going to be on. Or we've been consumed with emails saying, I won't vote for this person. I won't vote for Trump if he puts her in the vice presidential spot.
Well, I'll tell you, Stuart, I'm sorry you're not hearing from real Americans that live on farms and ranches.
There you go. So the farm and ranch Americans love the dog shooting story. It's over for her. It's over. She's not going to be Trump's VP. She did have a shot. She was considered a top contender. It is over. I am not a betting man. If I were to bet money, I would bet that she is. She's not even being discussed at this point by the Trump team. All right. Going from Kristi Noem to another female Republican who has a different place within MAGA world right now. I'm talking about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the UN under failed former President Donald Trump. Nikki Haley, former Republican governor of South Carolina. She is getting more and more popular, despite the fact that she dropped out months ago within the Republican Party. What does this mean for the future of this country's presidential race? Well, let's take a look at the numbers. Yesterday, Indiana held its Republican primary. Now, I just want to remind everybody, the primary is long over in the sense that Trump is the presumptive nominee. He secured enough of the vote that he will be made the official nominee at the Republican National Convention over the summer. However, the primaries are still held. And yesterday in Indiana, about 22% of the Republican primary voters voted for Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley dropped out of this race months ago. There is no race here. And yet, more than one out of five Republican primary voters in Indiana said, despite the fact that she's dropped out, despite the fact that Trump's clinched this, I'm going to go out and vote for Nikki Haley anyway. Now, I want to focus your attention on results from several weeks ago in Pennsylvania. If we go back to the Pennsylvania results from some time ago, I forget what the date was for the Republican primary in Pennsylvania. It was a little while ago. We talked about it. April 22nd, 23rd, something like that. We had a situation then where 17% of Pennsylvania Republicans decided to go out and make their voice heard for Nikki Haley, a candidate who had already dropped out and who has no chance of being the nominee. And when we saw 17% of Pennsylvania Republicans say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out and vote for Nikki, even though it's over. We said this could be a problem for Donald Trump. If you look at how close Pennsylvania was and you think, hey, you know what? If only half of these Republicans who went out and voted for Nikki Haley, despite her having no chance, say, I'm going to stay home or vote for Biden in November, that could make sure that Biden wins the state of Pennsylvania. Well, 17% became almost 22% last night. 22% of Republicans said, I am going to go out and make my voice heard, even though it is irrelevant in the context of this Republican primary because Trump's won it already. Now, the difficulty, of course, is the interpretation and meaning of this number in thinking about the presidential election. And that is a different question. What may be happening here is not that this is about Nikki Haley specifically. And to be honest, I don't think it's about Nikki Haley specifically. It is that there is a growing coalition in American politics that is the I don't want Trump coalition. This includes almost all Democrats, significant numbers of independents, and some number of Republicans, between 15 and 40% of Republicans who do not like Trump. Now, some of these Republicans who don't like Trump will still vote for him, or they might stay home because they can't see themselves going and voting for Joe Biden. They've bought some of the conspiracy theories about Joe Biden. They've become convinced they never should or could vote for a Democrat. So some of these anti-Trump Republicans are still going to vote for the guy. But when you look at the math and you look at how close Pennsylvania was and you look at how close Georgia and Arizona were, and you remember that Trump needs to take some of those states from Joe Biden, and then you see that there's a fifth of Republicans that are going out and voting for a candidate whose campaign is over just to point out that they don't like Trump, this is potentially a major problem for Donald Trump in November. I don't believe that the Biden coalition should count on anti-Trump Republicans to put Joe Biden back in the White House, but certainly we welcome them. And the numbers look as though it could be a major problem for Donald Trump. So this is not good. If you have long clinched the nomination, seeing more than one out of five primary voters vote for someone else, it is not good. We'll see what it means in November. Let me know in a comment. Let me know in an email, info@davidpakman.com. What do you think of the fact that 22% of Indiana Republicans, not a liberal group by any means, it's not a place where the Republicans are more moderate like California or Massachusetts or Connecticut. Indiana, one fifth of Indiana Republicans saying, I want Nikki Haley, even though she's dead in the water. info@davidpakman.com. Let me know what you think it means. We'll hear from a sponsor or two and then talk about a very stormy day in court yesterday for the failed former president. When you were seriously hurt, your injury could be worth a lot of money. Our sponsor, Morgan & Morgan, does not settle for lowball offers. They let you find out how much your case could be worth online in just a couple of minutes. In the past couple of months alone, Morgan & Morgan saw verdicts of $12 million in Florida. That's 34 times the highest insurance offer they had gotten. $26 million in Philadelphia, 40 times the highest insurance offer. $6.8 million in New York, 25 times the highest insurance offer. Their fee is absolutely free unless you win. Personal injury lawsuits serve a crucial role. When you suffer an injury that someone else caused, you could be left with huge medical bills, lost wages, other expenses that simply should not be your responsibility. The change to your life could range from a mere inconvenience to something you aren't even sure you can crawl out from. Either way, that is why personal injury lawsuits exist. You, the plaintiff, can hold the negligent party accountable, get the compensation you deserve and need. Did you know you can start a claim with America's largest injury law firm in just a click? It is so easy. You can start your claim now with Morgan and Morgan at forthepeople.com/Pacman or click the link in the description. We all know how tough it can be to find a pair of jeans that fits right and looks good. You spend hours at the mall, weeks shipping stuff back and forth online trying to find something. Meet the perfect jean. Our sponsor, The Perfect Jean, makes great looking, perfect fitting jeans that are as comfortable as sweatpants. I wear these myself. They really are that comfortable. My Perfect Jeans are my favorite pair of jeans right now. The secret is a special denim fabric that is super soft and has the perfect amount of stretch so you can squat, do yoga, just sit around without wanting to take them off. They come in 6 different fits, whether you're looking for big, tall, skinny, short. The Perfect Jean has sizes you won't find on most other websites. And the Perfect Jean is giving my audience 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. Go to theperfectjean.nyc and use code PACMAN15. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them I sent you. That's 15% off for new customers when you go to theperfectjean.nyc and use code PACMAN15. The info is in the podcast notes. The David Pacman Show is an audience-supported program, and if you're hearing this message right now, you are not getting the full member experience, which includes extra content every single day called The Bonus Show, as well as a commercial-free audio and video feed of the show made available hours before the show is publicly released. I invite you to sign up at joinpacman.com. A major win for failed former President Donald Trump coming yesterday. His criminal trial related to the classified documents has been postponed indefinitely in Florida, although the federal trial is still moving ahead. This is a major, major deal for Donald Trump and something many of us have been worried about, given the judge Eileen Cannon's apparent biases towards the failed former president. The Washington Post reports judge indefinitely delays Trump's classified documents trial in Florida. Judge Eileen Cannon said there are too many pretrial issues to set a new trial date now. This is exactly what we expected. Exactly what we expected. Washington Post reports Judge Eileen Cannon ruled that this is going to be pushed back indefinitely. The judge originally set the Florida trial date for May. That seemed unlikely for months. Cannon still needed to make decisions on a number of key legal issues before a jury can hear the case. At a scheduling hearing in Florida, March 1, Trump's lawyers pushed to start the trial after the election, an election in which Trump is the presumptive Republican nominee. Prosecutors said, please start the trial early in July. If Trump returns to the Oval Office, he could appoint an attorney general who is willing to drop the federal charges against him. In addition, Justice Department policy forbids the criminal prosecution of a sitting president. In her ruling Tuesday, Cannon said there are many complicated legal rules and deadlines surrounding the use of classified evidence in public criminal trials that need to be considered before she picks a new court date. By the way, I think I said the wrong thing earlier. I said that the federal documents case can move forward. I'm at the other federal trial in Washington, D.C. If I may have misspoken earlier, a brain glitch of sorts. So I'm talking about the D.C. federal trial can still move forward. And presumably the Georgia criminal trial can also still move forward. So this is a major problem. And it shouldn't be ignored that there seem to be major problems with the judge as well. The Daily Montanan has an article from yesterday which asks, what was a Florida judge who was presiding over a Trump trial doing in Montana? And it appears as though Judge Eileen Cannon is taking some vacations to luxury resorts, including in Prey, Montana, to attend conservative legal conferences, failed to disclose the trips, which some estimate cost tens of thousands of dollars apiece. And it appears as though those are being funded by right-leaning organizations and individuals and other conservatives. It has been clear for months that this trial was not going to start in May. So it's not a surprise. It is simply not a surprise. The upside, arguably, is that the D.C. trial now, at least hypothetically, could be scheduled to start without saying, well, there's a conflict with the one in Florida. The one in Florida is postponed indefinitely, so that's not going to be a problem anymore. But it seems to me here that the strategy all along, and we suspected this was the strategy, was that Eileen Cannon would entertain and say, I need to think about, I need to consider a whole bunch of different pretrial motions. Continuing to consider rather than decide on those was going to make the timing increasingly tight. It was an obvious stalling mechanism to delay. And listen, there's no way that this is going to be able to start in May, obviously, or even July, because she needs to do some really deep thinking, very truly deep thinking about a number of these pretrial motions. So unfortunately, I know that there's always a, well, this seems like an injustice. This seems like a miscarriage of justice, not the way the justice system is supposed to work. What can we do? Who can we appeal to? It is really not apparent from the opinions of legal analysts that I'm reading that too much can be done about this. And it is certainly conceivable that this trial will indeed be delayed until after the election, at which time, if Trump wins, he may have a number of different mechanisms for ultimately getting this case dismissed. So that's where we are. We're in the middle of the hush money criminal trial in New York. There's the D.C. trial federally pending. There's the Georgia State trial pending. And now we have the Florida documents federal case, which is postponed indefinitely. It's a win for Trump. There's no other way to say it. Many of his followers are rejoicing, but I still don't know that things are looking particularly good for him in November. That's a bigger story, which we will obviously discuss. Let's now talk about what did happen yesterday in Trump's ongoing criminal trial. Stormy Daniels, the adult film actress with whom Trump previously had an affair, I think we can call it an affair, maybe it's more accurately called a tryst, and is the subject of the $130,000 in hush money, which was not properly disclosed as a campaign contribution. Stormy Daniels testified yesterday, while Melania Trump appears to be in hiding nowhere near this trial. And reportedly, of course, the Trump-Melania relationship is nothing more than a formality at this point, basically a business agreement from everything we know. So let's start with the Washington Post report. Washington Post has an article, What Stormy Daniels Said During Her First Day of Testimony in Trump's Hush Money Trial. The sort of lurid and salacious details don't really matter too much to us here. She described everything from what Trump was wearing when he when they had this tryst in a Lake Tahoe hotel room. She indicated that Trump said a lot of very strange things, including comparing Stormy Daniels to Trump's own daughter, Ivanka. We're going to get back to that. OK, we're going to get back to that. So let's sort of suspend that for a moment. Stormy Daniels did indicate that while it was not a sexual assault, she's not alleging that it was a sexual assault. She did say that she felt disgusted with herself after this incident. And of course, the relevance of her testimony is that Trump has never acknowledged any of this. And although he is not, at least for now, willing to be put under oath and to say everything she said is untrue, here's what really happened or here's what didn't happen, it is certainly relevant that Stormy Daniels was under oath and provided all sorts of details. Now, in the meantime, increasingly, the question is being asked, where the hell is Melania Trump? Trump is going to, he went to an F1 race with no Melania. He's going to UFC fights with no Melania. Melania is completely missing from the campaign trail. Melania is obviously missing from this criminal trial, which centers around a sexual encounter that Donald Trump had with someone extramaritally. And we don't know, you know, is this just kind of par for the course with their relationship, or is this something that is considered a breach of trust? We just don't know, and it doesn't really matter. But the relevant part here, of course, is that there is a large contingent of the Republican electorate that considers themselves pro-family evangelicals with certain values and blah, 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 blah. And all of it goes right out the window. And we knew it went out the window when those evangelical voters who were not behind Trump in 2016, but were behind Ted Cruz, a disgusting person, but at least more nominally believable as a Christian, they got right behind Donald Trump in 2016. So we know that it's all just a posturing and virtue signaling Melania's missing. Stormy Daniels is testifying. Donald Trump absolutely losing it before and after court, which we will get to later. But I do think that it makes sense to briefly discuss this entire "you remind me of Ivanka" thing. So let's do that now. If you've been following this show for a while, if you've been following American politics for a while, you know that for a very long time, Donald Trump has had a very creepy borderline. I feel gross saying it. Trump has had a borderline sexual obsession with his daughter, including saying that if Ivanka weren't Trump's daughter, it's someone that he would be dating, and other really creepy, strange things that I don't know any other dads who talk like this about their daughters. One of the interesting things that came up yesterday during Stormy Daniels' testimony is that at some point during this sexual encounter after Stormy Daniels says that Donald Trump said to her, "You remind me of my daughter. You remind me of my daughter." After meeting the future president of the United States at a golf tournament in 2006, adult film star Stormy Daniels testified Trump's personal bodyguard asked her if she would have dinner with Trump. Long story short, she shows up at his hotel room. He's in pajamas. And, you know, ultimately they ended up having this sexual encounter. One of the things that Trump reportedly said to Daniels was he turned to her and said, "You remind me of my daughter." Apparently a reference to the fact that they were both blonde, intelligent, and underestimated. This was kind of around the time Trump ended up just sitting there in his underwear. This is really creepy stuff, but there's a long history of this. And I would ask all of the evangelical pro-family voters, what do you think about this? Here is Trump on The View years ago. Just listen. I can't even introduce this.
Okay, but if there weren't, you wouldn't have an issue with it then. If they were using her to...
I don't think Ivanka would do that inside the magazine, although she does have a very nice figure. I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
You know? Stop it! Oh, it's so weird! Stop it!
You know what? You are sick!
Yeah.
Well, you're known for saying outrageous things.
It's very strange. These are very strange things for a father to say. And then in another appearance, Trump once said that sex is what he has in common with Ivanka. What?
We want to know a little bit more about you guys. So we play this game here. It's called Fave Five. I'll ask the question. Ivanka, you answer first, and then Dad, you answer also.
This is tough.
Okay, Ivanka, what's the favorite thing you have in common with your father?
Either real estate or golf.
Donald, with your daughter?
Well, I was going to say sex, but I can't relate that.
What on earth is wrong with this guy? So listen, as usual, all of the most supposedly outlandish claims. When I was with Trump, he said that remind him of Ivanka. No, that's crazy. He would never say that. Look at the track record. This is a vile and disgusting guy. This is not part of why he shouldn't be president, although it certainly doesn't help. Let's take a quick break and be right back. It's getting warmer out there, so make sure you're prepared. Unfortunately for some of the gentlemen, the weather warming up does have a downside, and it's the sticking and the readjusting and the chafing when the humidity kicks in. But our sponsor, Sheath Underwear, will keep you comfortable. Sheath is the underwear ergonomically designed with separate compartments in the front, keeping everything comfortable, dry and fresh all day long. No more moisture, chafing. Everything can breathe. You won't even realize how much you needed this until the first time you try it. Sheath underwear is especially awesome to sleep in. It's a whole new level of comfort at night you didn't even know was possible. Many colors and varieties to choose from. You'll find something you like. They even have a line of super quality women's underwear designed with comfort in mind. Sheath has more than 10,000 five-star reviews, fast shipping, and world-class customer service. Go to sheathunderwear.com/Pacman and get 20% off with the code Pacman. That's S-H-E-A-T-H underwear.com/Pacman. Use code Pacman to save 20%. The info is in the podcast notes. I love my Helix sleep mattress. I've been sleeping on Helix mattresses for years now, which is why I asked them to be a sponsor. You actually take their famous sleep quiz, takes just a few minutes to answer questions about your sleep preferences, body type, sleep position, whether you have back pain, and Helix will match you with a mattress that's perfect for you, which is really unique and helpful because a lot of people don't know where to start when buying a mattress. I certainly didn't. Their newest collection of mattresses called Helix Elite come with a built-in Glaciotex layer to keep you cool at night, an extra layer of foam for pressure relief, and thousands of extra micro coils for best-in-class support and durability. All of their mattresses ship right to your door, totally free. They come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, and you get 100 nights to decide if you like it. Right now, for a limited time, Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. It's the biggest discount they've ever offered. Go to helixsleep.com/Pacman. That's helixsleep.com/Pacman for up to 30% off and two free pillows. The link is in the podcast notes. All right, we continue to see gag order violation after gag order violation in the Donald Trump hush money criminal trial. We talked earlier about Stormy Daniels' testimony. One of the very strange things that took place yesterday was that Donald Trump did make a post on Truth Social about Stormy Daniels' testimony. It was quickly deleted, and Donald Trump has not yet explained why he deleted it, although all obvious inferences would be this was very obviously a violation of the gag order, and it risked Trump ending up in jail, even though Trump says it would be a privilege to go to jail. I don't think he actually wants to go to jail. So Donald Trump posting to Truth Social, quote, this was at 7:30 in the morning, presumably as he was getting ready to go to court. And here's Stormy Daniels' testimony, quote, I have just recently been told who the witness is today. This is unprecedented. No time for lawyers to prepare. No judge has ever run a trial in such a biased and partisan way. He is crooked and highly conflicted, even taking away my First Amendment rights. That's not true, by the way. Now he's threatening me with jail, and they have no case. This, according to virtually all legal scholars and experts, why isn't the fake news media reporting this conflict? Now, of course, just about everything here is a lie. Trump's lawyers knew that Stormy Daniels would indeed be testifying. There is no evidence that the judge is crooked and highly conflicted. Trump's First Amendment rights have not been taken away. He thinks that having a gag order, a limited gag order with regard to the witnesses and court personnel, is a violation of his First Amendment right. It indeed is not. He says they have no case. Well, I guess ultimately the jury will decide that. And when he says virtually all legal scholars agree there's no case, he's talking about a handful of Fox News legal analysts who are sort of like Trump's friends to the extent that Trump has friends. The press knew days ago that Stormy Daniels was testifying yesterday. It is obviously not true that this was a big surprise. And Trump is continuing to try to rile up his base. It is propaganda. And that is it. Now, Trump deleted it, but it still violated the gag order. He did post a violation of the gag order. He later deleted it, and arguably the violation was the violation. Now, any lawyer worth what Trump is supposed to be paying them, notice I say supposed to be paying them because we don't really know. Any lawyer worth what Trump is supposedly paying them would have a cross-examination of Stormy Daniels prepared before the trial even starts. And they did. And they did. So obviously everybody knew, other than supposedly Trump, that this key testimony was happening yesterday. It is a violation of the gag order, and it seems very clear that if we don't have a two-tier justice system that favors the rich and the elites and people like Trump, Trump absolutely should be spending some time in jail. However, this wasn't the only thing that went wrong yesterday for Donald Trump with regard to Stormy Daniels' testimony. You have to see the shaken and disoriented Trump that showed up to court. Let's talk about that next. Yesterday, Stormy Daniels testified, and both before and after the day's proceedings in court, Donald Trump was about as bad as we have seen him so far. First and foremost, Donald Trump showing up in the morning again, confirming some of the facts of the case, which I would love for Trump to say under oath, because if anything, they confirm the criminality that is here. Here is Trump with he's got pieces of paper and documents just falling out of him. He says, we did everything right. We said the payment to Stormy Daniels was a legal expense, period. And of course, that is the problem. It is not a legal expense. That's what this is all about. So Trump confirming the facts of the case. I don't know if his lawyers aren't telling him, hey, you may not want to do that. But here it is.
Morning America, they said, we heard that expense payments to lawyers are legal expenses. You pay a lawyer expense payments. We didn't put it down as construction costs, the purchase of sheetrock, the electrical cost. The legal expense that we paid was put down as legal expense. There's nothing else you could say. You don't have to put down anything, I guess. But we put down legal expense was legal expense. Is that a correct statement, Mr. Attorney?
Yes.
And everyone's saying, oh, gee, that's the fraud. That's what they're trying to get us on, the fact that we call it a legal expense. They marked it down in the books. The check was signed, and the other morning...
So, of course, Trump is confirming a bunch of elements here that contribute to the criminality. It is not a legal expense. Trump knew that there was a problem with this payment because he's recorded saying that he wants to use cash to pay it. He doesn't want to chalk it up as any kind of expense if he doesn't have to. Legal expense is then what was selected to hide the reality that it was not a legal expense. It was a campaign expenditure meant specifically to get Stormy Daniels to shut up about what happened, with the belief that if she did go public, it would ruin Donald Trump's shot at becoming president. So Trump here confirming a lot of the facts. I would love for him to get under oath and confirm it again, because it would be a real problem for him legally. You can bet anything that Trump is not going to be getting under oath and testifying here. Trump also insists that is this the same clip? Now I'm actually unsure. Let's see what he had to say here.
Some of the statements made about this witch hunt on CNN, fake news CNN, Michael Moore said the proof of falsifying records has not been accomplished. On Good Morning America, they said, we heard that expense payments to lawyers are legal expenses. You pay a lawyer expense payments. We didn't put it down as construction costs.
Okay, so this is what we heard. Let's skip ahead a little bit.
And the other thing, this was approved by all agencies. Everybody saw this. There was nothing being hidden at all. That's what they're all writing now. There's been nothing hidden. And it went through agencies, and I guess it went through the IRS also. It went through IRS. It went through the FEC.
So the conflict here, this is yet another problem for Trump if he were to say this stuff under oath. There was an argument made that Trump was pressured to pay shakedown money, and it was done begrudgingly, and it was done as quietly as possible. On the other hand, Trump now wants us to believe everybody cleared this. Everybody's cool with this. It was all completely on the up and up. That's another conflict with the story that Trump has been telling. Okay, Trump then saying the country is on fire. And remember, he must convince people things are terrible for everybody and that his prosecution is part of how terrible things are. Misery is something he benefits from, and he needs misery in order to have a shot at winning in November.
Are you a victim of extortion?
The country is on fire. There are protests all over the country. I've never seen anything like this. Many graduation ceremonies are being canceled. They're canceled, as you know, in Colombia. They're canceling a lot of them. And we have a president that just refuses to talk, because he can't talk. You know that. So does everyone else.
There you go. So the country is on fire and it's all just absolutely terrible. And then lastly, Trump's afternoon rant, a certainly more haggard and disheveled Trump exiting court. And here he says the day it was a big day. Yesterday was the day the case fell apart. You know, that's not the impression any serious legal expert got from yesterday's testimony. But here is Trump after apparently a very long day in court for him.
So this was a very big day, a very revealing day. As you see, their case is totally falling apart.
How crazy is it this is going to go on for months and months?
They have nothing on books and records, and even something that should bear very little relationship to the case. It's just a disaster for the DA, for the Soros-backed DA. It's a disaster. This whole case is just a disaster. If you read the legal scholars, you'll see, because they're writing about it, they've never seen anything quite like it. And neither have I. I should be out campaigning right now. We're leading in all the polls. I'd like to be campaigning. We'd be leading by a lot more. but I just want to appreciate, I appreciate the job you're doing. It's not easy standing there all day waiting, but you're hearing the same things that we're hearing.
Yep. And of course, Trump insists that if it weren't for this trial, it would be just campaign stops up and down the country, everywhere, east, west, north, south. But as we know, many of the days off from the trial, which includes Wednesdays as well as Saturday, Sunday, Trump not campaigning. And in fact, the latest news is that his big trip to see Barron graduate high school, he's scheduled a major fundraiser on that day. It's not even clear he's going to go to Barron's graduation. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he's certainly going to have to get back to his fundraiser. So wild, wild stuff. And again, we're constantly on the border of further gag order violations. The next question is, did Donald Trump's former lawyer, Alina Habba, who is now his official spokesperson, did she indirectly violate Trump's gag order? Let's talk about that next. Alina Habba is sort of a there's a bit of an element of a Greek tragedy to Alina Habba. I don't know how else to say it. She ended up really bungling a bunch of official legal representation for Donald Trump. Now she's been relegated, I guess, to Trump's legal spokesperson. But certainly, at minimum, she is officially a spokesperson for Trump. She went on the brown-nosing Fox News Sean Hannity program last night, and she is starting to make assertions that many legal experts say are clearly happening at the direction of Donald Trump and therefore could be argued also violate the gag order Donald Trump is under. Let's take a listen here. Here is Habba saying that information that is known to be false was put forward by the prosecution. Take a listen to this.
Not care. They went ahead and put salacious information that was frankly false. We know that from words that were said prior to this trial. And now we're sitting here scratching our heads wondering where taxpayer dollars are going.
So she says that what was put forth yesterday in Stormy Daniels' testimony was known to be false. Stormy Daniels was under oath. If Donald Trump wants to refute it or if they want to impeach the allegations, they are able to do it. There was no ability to impeach the assertions yesterday by Donald Trump's defense attorneys. All they could get out was that Stormy Daniels hates Trump. She said, yeah, I hate the guy. That's true. I hate the guy. But they were not able to impeach her testimony on any of the factual grounds. Trump would have the ability to get up there and give a different version of events. They're not going to do it because everybody knows that what Stormy Daniels said is true. And this is what brings us to the gag order. Alina Habba, by every sense of the word, is representing Trump in an official capacity. She's not his lawyer in this case, but she is Trump's legal spokesperson. And there is the gag order says Trump can't make certain statements or direct others to make certain statements. Clear, speaking for Trump, Alina Habba says the testimony from Stormy Daniels was false. The court would be well within its rights to view that as a gag order violation and to say that's enough, Trump's got to go to jail. But again, the best way to combat it would be put Trump under oath, put him on the stand. Alina Habba, also during yesterday's interview, speaking to the credibility of those that you select, which really, by the way, is an indictment of herself.
We'll say is this, Sean, when you have inconsistencies with any witness, it speaks volumes. When you pick people that are not credible, it speaks volumes.
And of course, if anybody falls under that description, it would be Alina Habba herself, who's been an absolute disaster as Donald Trump's lawyer. Here is Alina Habba continuing, saying that the story that came forward yesterday is a made up story that's been floating around for a decade, again, indicating that the testimony under oath from Stormy Daniels was false, arguably a gag order violation.
Because when you're rushing cases, when you're bringing cases that are not true, when you're politically motivated, in time it will show. I always tell the American people, sit tight and wait. What we saw today was a story that I've heard for a decade that is complete garbage. And finally, the facts are coming out and the cases are falling apart like a domino, one at a time.
And remember that the Trump defense team was not able to impeach Stormy Daniels and her testimony at all on the facts, able to elicit only that she hates Trump, which doesn't change any of her claims whatsoever. And by the way, it would be pretty dumb to pay $130,000 in hush money if it was completely fabricated and then hide it as a legal expense, because obviously you're trying to hide the reality of the situation. And then lastly, Alina Habba bringing up again, that the courtroom is cold and it's so unfair to make Trump sit there. And the American people are realizing it.
Guess what? We're seeing it now in New York. And if the American people don't see that this is solely to take him off and out, silence him, censor his people, and make sure that he's sitting in a courtroom cold and listening to this corruption, then we are completely misguided and blinded. And we have to fix this country, Sean. Yeah. It is completely disgraceful what I am seeing.
And this is a big element of the PR strategy around these trials, which is convince the American people that by attempting to hold Trump accountable, it is some kind of attack on the average person. And of course, it's not. Most Americans can see through that, but it's all they've got. When they go after Trump like this, they're going after you. No, they're really not. They're really going after Trump. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring, which is why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. I don't live super close to my parents, so giving them an Aura frame with pictures of the baby was a perfect gift. Both I and they can add pictures to the frame using the Aura app, no USB, just infinite cloud photo storage where it all happens seamlessly over Wi-Fi, super easy. Not only will she be grateful, it's not another sweater. She'll also love that an Aura frame gets she means to see more of you. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Go to AuraFrames.com/Pacman and use the code Pacman for $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. The link is in the description. Terms and conditions apply. All right, I'm going to show you something that's a little bit depressing on a couple of different counts. It's really sad to see what's happened to Dr. Drew, and it's really sad to see what's happened to Mike Lindell, a.k.a. Mike Pillow. Now, for those of you who don't know who Dr. Drew is, Dr. Drew Pinsky, I grew up listening to a radio show called Loveline with Drew Pinsky and Adam Carolla, kind of before they both went off the rails. And I met Dr. Drew at Politicon a few years ago, had a nice conversation, and he really seems to have gone completely off the rails. Now, at the same time, Mike Pillow, a.k.a. Mike Lindell, who's been a guest on this program, he also seems to really be struggling in some way. And I'm going to play some clips that they did a long form interview. There's almost too much to look at here, so we won't look at all of it. But when this sort of thing happens, what do we make of it? How did these two individuals end up in this situation? Here is Pillow telling Dr. Drew, this is the sort of victimhood complex that's almost a requirement of the modern right wing at this point. Mike Pillow tells Dr. Drew that his company is one of the most attacked in the country's history. And he really gets into what I think we must call paranoid delusions at this point in time. Look at how sad this is.
The most attacked company in the history of the world is My Pillow. My employees sit here all the time and they have to worry, are we going to have a company tomorrow? Because they're relentless, all because their CEO wants to go to paper ballots, hand count it, and secure our—
And remember that there are reports that a lot of MyPillow employees are actually horrified by the stuff that Mike Lindell is doing, which is jeopardizing their jobs.
Elections here in the United States. They're not attacking me anymore because Mike wants to overturn the 2020 election. They're attacking me because they want to keep these computers in our elections and they don't want to go to paper ballots. And it's a shame. This is an employee-owned company. I just happen to have the most shares.
Right.
And but God's getting us through. And if they thought it would stop me from talking, they were very much wrong. When they attacked me after the 2020 election and I lost all the box stores, I didn't change. I'm the same transparent person I was when I told the whole world, hey, I was a crack addict. I want to help people that were on it. I want to use something bad for good. God uses all things for good.
Yeah.
I didn't change. What changed was I was revealed to me things in this country that needed to be fixed, or we're going to lose the American dream that I've, you know, with the... And I've lived it. I have lived it more than you can ever imagine. And we don't want to lose that for the future of our great kids, grandkids.
So Dr. Drew just kind of nodding along with Pillow's paranoid delusions there. A really fascinating moment is when Pillow goes into wacky COVID stuff and a disclaimer comes up on the screen, which basically just says like, hey, some of these things may not be medically sound, check with your doctor sort of stuff. And it's really kind of weird because on the one hand, Dr. Drew is like doing ads for hydroxychloroquine on his show. But at the same time, they are putting up a disclaimer on Pillow. I don't know, like, who's scamming who here? Who is really the grifter? Is it Dr. Drew or is it Pillow? Take a listen to this.
The first time my Pillow was attacked was the summer of 2020, not with the election stuff. It was attacked with, I had a supplement that worked on the China virus. And I put all my money into that. And then instead, Pfizer.
So Dr. Drew's nodding. Now watch for the disclaimer.
The FDA turned.
And there it is. So the disclaimer at the bottom of the screen as Pillow is ranting. Just think of how insane this is. Pillow's ranting about bogus COVID cures. Dr. Drew is nodding. But then at the bottom of the screen, it says portions of this program may examine countervailing views on important medical issues and the severity of the COVID-19 pandemic.
On me, they wouldn't let me give it out. I was going to give it out free. I had $10 million worth. I borrowed money to buy it all. They stopped it here in the U.S. Then they stopped.
And then it adds, always consult your physician before making decisions about your health.
Me getting it into Israel when they made a dirty deal with Pfizer. Then they stopped me to get it into the Philippines. They stopped me to get it in Brazil. That was to give it away and save lives. Now, we used it here at MyPillow. We never had to shut down.
Right.
So there was blessings that saved lives.
And remember, the reason MyPillow didn't have to shut down is because you basically could just keep going to work with COVID.
But millions of dollars in the product that became outdated. And it was, I'm still fighting the IRS and audits over that. And, but this is it.
I'm going to ask you a real question here. Dr. Drew is a psychiatrist. He has to, as whatever his political views are at this point, he has to know that something is very wrong with Mike Pillow, right? Like, there's no planet on which Dr. Drew doesn't realize this is a very sick guy in the middle of absolutely serious paranoid delusions. Here's Pillow then talking about the deep state and globalists.
I can look at people's behavior since 2015, 16, all the way through COVID as sort of this mass formation, hysteria, delusion. And it seems like this one guy, Donald Trump, creates this tremendous reaction in people. It's just really, I'm sort of neutral. And so, I can see these reactions. I go, what is that? And so A, what is that? And then B, what's coming after you? It seems organized from somewhere.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, God. I may be Dr. Drew may be fueling the delusions, actually. This is really bad.
Theories, or do you know?
It's very organized, everybody. And like I said earlier in the show, I didn't even know. I was an ex-crack addict. I had never voted in my life. I didn't know a Democrat from a Republican. I didn't know what a liberal or conservative. I didn't know a filibuster from a millibuster. I was invited in August of 2016 to go meet Donald Trump in a divine appointment. It's in my book. If you want to find out how I met Donald Trump, He invited me to come and meet him. It was just him and I in a room. He had no agenda, everybody, other than this. He asked me, Mike, I want to bring manufacturing back into the U.S., you know, like MyPillow. How is it? How is it going? He asked my opinion on that. And then also they said, now, whatever you do, don't tell Mr. Trump that you were an ex-crack addict. I walked in that room, and one of the first things I said was, yeah, I was an ex-crack addict. And I kind of looked at him, and he goes, and I said, I got this Lindell Recovery Network I'm setting up. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to shut down that border and stop that.
All right. Anyway, so this is like really, really wacky stuff. And then lastly, here's a kind of interesting moment where Pillow is asked about how paranoid the drugs used to make him, which is interesting because he's so paranoid now.
After I met Donald Trump in the summer of 2015 or 16, met him for the first time. He invited me there to just as a businessman asking me about, you know, doing manufacturing here in the U.S. Well, I came back to Minnesota and I did a press release saying, hey, this presidential candidate, I met with him. I didn't even tell him what it was for. And the media attacked me. And one of the things they said was I was a drug dealer. Now, at that time, I'm going, what? And we made him do a retraction. And that the way I did the retraction was I wasn't a drug dealer. In fact, I did so many drugs that I tried to rid the city of Minneapolis by doing them all, you know. But I never dealt a drug in my life. I just did them all, you know. So, and there was that kind of transparency with the media. That's where that started.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the cops got to have a sense of when people are lying, when they're not, because they're lied to all the time. They certainly used to hearing lies, especially from addicts. And and I wonder how paranoid the cocaine got you, because crack boy, you start to get real preoccupied about cops. So I'm surprised you could talk to him. Well, you get sober a little bit.
Remember, I had slept for a day, but in my book, I talk about, you know, I was a very functioning addict for 2 decades before crack. It was cocaine,
yeah. So
alcohol,
you don't,
and everyone cracked.
We don't really get an answer about the paranoia, but it's a really weird interview because on the one hand, Dr. Drew is an expert in addiction medicine to a degree, and you would think he would obviously recognize the paranoid state in which Pillow exists permanently. On the other hand, he seems to talk to him about it as if that paranoid phase is some kind of time of the past or something like that. It's a bizarre interview. It's a little bit of the blind leading the blind, for lack of a better term. And part of me wonders if this is just a character Dr. Drew has started playing because of the people that are funding him. I honestly don't know, but it's a very sad thing to see. There is a new report from Semaphore that the Trump campaign is preparing for a jail sentence for Donald Trump. The judge has again warned Donald Trump, if you don't stop violating the gag orders, I'm going to throw you in jail. Now, do we really believe that that's going to happen? I don't know. But there are a number of different interesting considerations that the Trump campaign is making in potentially preparing for this. One is, how will they fundraise off of Trump sitting in jail? I have to tell you, I think it will be a fundraising boon to Trump. I think if Trump does get thrown in jail for a night or two, held in contempt for violating a gag order, they will very successfully monetize it. There's no question about it. The Trump campaign and the Trump legal team, according to this very same article, is also considering, can we get an alternative punishment, like maybe home confinement? Is that something we would be able to ask the judge for on the basis of the difficulty of guaranteeing Trump security in jail? They are planning a ramp up in fundraising messages. Surrogates will be out in force arguing Trump's perspective. If indeed Trump is jailed, they will martyr him. They will be focusing on the alleged claim that this is all politically motivated. And it seems as though, you know, if I kind of bottom line it right now, it seems to me that if Trump is convicted, it will be very bad for his campaign. And the reason I say that is the polling, which very clearly shows that the number of voters willing to vote for Trump if he's convicted is well lower than his current level of support. And even if that decline is over exaggerated in the polling, it's something, and it's already basically 50-50. So a Trump conviction appears to be very bad for Trump. On the other hand, Trump being thrown in jail for a night or two, I'm kind of with a lot of these campaign people who think it might present a very interesting opportunity to raise money and to more strongly advocate for the notion that this is all trumped up political nonsense against Trump. So they're preparing for it. Whether it will happen remains an open question. I still remain skeptical that the judge is really willing to say, I'm going to jail a former president. It should have already happened. And the fact that it hasn't makes me think that the judge is going to give Trump a lot of leeway here to keep violating the gag order and to keep him out of jail. We have a voicemail number. That number is 219-2-DAVID-P. Here is a self-described redneck liberal truck driver who has a message for the MAGA people. Take a listen to this.
Hey, David. My name's Chris. I'm from West Virginia. I'm a redneck liberal. I drive a diesel truck and all that shit, but I watch your show pretty much every day, every video.
Love it.
Those MAGAs can go f*** themselves. No chatbot here.
All right. So a little bit more aggressive than maybe it makes sense to be if we're trying to win an election and win people over to our point of view. But at least confirming that he is not a chatbot, as was suggested in a voicemail last week. So certainly something to be said. I don't know that that's the tone I'm going to strike to try to win people to our side. We have a fantastic bonus show for you today. Vermont, the state of Vermont, has passed a bill to charge fossil fuel companies for damage from climate change that they cause. Will this work? Is it legal? We will discuss it. The United States is exploring using artificial intelligence to train immigration officers on how to talk to refugees. Some people love this idea because they say the training is very much needed. Others say the training may be needed, but the last thing we need is AI doing the training. We will discuss. And also, it appears that after all of the complaining about how he wants to go to Barron Trump's graduation and he won't be allowed to, now that the judge has said Trump can go to the graduation, Trump has scheduled a fundraiser on the same day. So is he going to go or is he not going to go? All of those stories and more on today's bonus show. Sign up at joinpacman.com. Get the full David Pakman Show experience. And remember that you can support the work we do at absolutely no financial cost whatsoever by making sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are pushing towards 2.5 million YouTube subscribers. And of course, the three children's books remain available at davidpakman.com/book. The newest book, Think Like a Voter, about the importance of voting. The previous book, Think Like a Scientist, an introduction to the scientific method. And the first book, still the bestseller, Think Like a Detective, an introduction to critical thinking. Get them at davidpakman.com/book. Leave a review. If you've bought these books, please leave a review. I'll see you on the bonus show, and I'll be back tomorrow.